one that has been regularly called for and lifted up by those who follow Jesus over the years. And yet it is something that I have personally found difficult to embrace. As I come to addressing this practice, I acknowledge that I have read fairly extensively and I've sought God's wisdom with the desire not to hurt the message of the gospel, but to bring understanding and a fuller and richer relationship with Jesus Christ. So here we go. Number one, fasting cannot be about me and what I want. It has to be about God and what God wants. In these verses from Isaiah, the first five verses that we read, chapter 58, verses 1 through 5, helps us in our understanding of this. In those five verses, God is saying, you act like you want God's blessing, and then there's this three-letter word, but. The scripture says, Isaiah says, you seem eager. That's God's observation of them. You seem eager. It seems like you want to do what is right. It seems like you really want to be near to God. You seem humble in and of yourselves. You bow your heads. You put on sackcloth and ashes. But you do as you please. So, do you really want to do what God wants? You exploit your workers. Is that really what God wants for you to do? You quarrel and are angry with each other. Does God want you to live in that kind of a relationship? You abuse each other physically and emotionally. You know, the scripture even says, you know, they hit each other with a wicked anger. Well, that's the first five verses that we read. It seems like this is what you want, but boy, you sure don't act like it. So we come to the next five verses, verses 6 through 14. And Isaiah says this, it is not this kind of fasting that I have chosen. And it's what God has said to Isaiah. But rather, this is the kind of fasting that God has chosen, he says, to loose the chains of injustice, to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, to clothe the naked, to not turn away your own flesh and your own blood, to do away with the yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger maliciously at others. Spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry. Satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath. You guys are doing good today. You're here. When it's 3 degrees outside, so I'm preaching to the choir. Well, you're here in body, and that's what the Israelites were doing. They were there in body, but their hearts weren't where they needed to be, were they? Don't just do as you please on the Sabbath. Make the Sabbath day a delight. Make God's holy day honorable. You act like you want God's blessing, but where is your heart? You see, I look out here this morning and see all your smiling faces, your nice clothes, probably some Christmas clothes. And you're here. You know, the pastor likes to see people in the pews. Wonderful. But there's still a question that I cannot answer, but only you can. Where is your heart? Are you acting like you want God's blessing, but not really humbling yourself to receive what God wants for you? The book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, Joel says this. He says, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Interesting. What's fasting all about? What is it that God wants for us? Return with all your heart. He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. He wants to be what is true. In our, well, before Sunday school, Lyle came down to class, and my grandkids are sitting there. And Lyle, you know, makes a comment in relationship to what the kids are wanting or what they think Grandpa wants for them. And Lyle says, well, that's really not fair, is it, with Grandpa sitting there for you to have to answer that. You see, isn't that the way it is? Other people are looking at us, and is it really fair, or can we really honestly speak what's on our heart? What God wants is for us to honestly speak what is in our heart. That's what God is looking for. Joel says, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. He talks about fasting there. He says, rend your hearts and not your garments. What is it that God wants in fasting? He wants us to rend our hearts. He wants our hearts to be changed. The emphasis is on repentance, returning to God with a fervor that includes fasting, weeping, and mourning. So as we move ahead into this coming week, this new year, as we talk about a week of prayer and fasting, you know, first of all, God wants us to rend our hearts. He wants us to, you know, look at our own guts, see what's down here. What is it that's really going on with me and with us? And deal with that. There needs to be repentance before anything else happens. In Matthew chapter 6 then, this is part of Jesus' teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, you know, just takes two verses as we read them today. And he talks about that fasting. You know, your fasting should be done in private. Why does he say that? Because he wants us to have hearts that aren't looking at other people. He wants us to have humble hearts. He doesn't want us to say something that sounds good. You know, Rock and Sterling, when they were going to comment on what Lyle asked them, you know, they probably felt like they needed to say something nice for Grandpa's sake. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for honesty. He's looking for humble hearts that, you know, can speak what's going on inside of us without having to feel like, you know, there's this person sitting beside me or this person that's watching me. I have to say what I think they want me to say rather than what is really on my heart. It's interesting, this passage on fasting, these two verses that Jesus gives on fasting here in his Sermon on the Mount are sandwiched between two portions of his sermon. What comes right before is Jesus teaching about prayer. The question is, how should you pray? And then he gives us the Lord's Prayer, which we all know, many of us have memorized. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, etc. God sandwiches this fasting between a teaching on what prayer is. And what does he say prayer should be? Well, number one, he says, you know, you need to forgive others, then you'll be forgiven. Fasting should be private, but it should be giving our heart to others. Verses 5 through 15. Verses 19 through 24 then, you know, in that teaching how you pray, then in just after that, Jesus talks about where your treasure is. Okay, so first of all, he talks about praying and the fact that we need to forgive others before we're forgiven, and that comes right before talking about fasting, and then right after talking about fasting, he says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. You cannot serve two masters. You can not serve your own desires and the desires of God. You must put first God's desires for you in all things. So, fasting. What about fasting? Well, we've learned some things already, haven't we? From Isaiah, from Joel, and now from Jesus. You know, fasting is something that is talked about in Scripture, but it has to be done in a context that is right if it's going to have meaning and if it's going to impact the heart of God. So, the question remains, why fast? And I have a part A and a part B to answer that. Why fast? First of all, in part A, for personal examination, God, am I doing what you want me to do? God, is my heart focused on you? Just like in the Lord's Prayer. God, am I first of all worshiping you? God, do I really want what you want? So first of all, why fast? Because there needs to be a personal examination, an examination of my heart, examination of my life before I can do anything else. The second thing, and this is in the Lord's Prayer. Yes, Jesus said, pray for your needs. Pray that bread's going to be put on your table. It's okay to do that. Lord, give us today our daily bread. So there's that personal, physical need that we pray for. And as we prayed for Marcy and the family today, there are some very physical, personal needs that they're going to have in the coming weeks and months. And we want to join them in prayer for those things. And God says, we can do that. We should do that. Pray for those needs. But then there are the spiritual needs that we need to pray about as well. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Deliver me from evil. So yes, pray for our physical needs. Pray for our spiritual needs. And then our relationships with others. God, I want to forgive my brother. Like Isaiah, the acts of caring for others. In that Isaiah passage, do you remember all the things that God was saying through Isaiah that should be done that are evidence of fasting? They're acts of kindness. They're acts of love. They're acts of helping others. Jesus' prayer, I want you to forgive others. And really, before you realize my forgiveness, you need to forgive others. That's the first part. That's A, okay? Part B then. Number one, we need to identify the source of our hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Paul says this, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And here are these two words that I say always look for. So that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Why do you come to pray? Why would you fast? Well, if we trust President Trump or the Congress or the Senate or any human factor, we're going to be left down. We're not going to realize the hope that is ours. Yeah, there's some hope there, yes. The new tax law, you know, we're all kind of wondering, okay, now what's going to happen to me? But the promise is you're going to get something more than you have. But is that really where hope lies? No. Our hope is really only in God and in Jesus Christ. He's the one who has the power. Not human intelligence, not human ideas, not a new tax law, but on God. So we need to identify the source of our hope. It's not on man's wisdom. It's in God's power. Our hope is in God, not on some human act. The second thing, the source of our hope is realized through faith. There's so much in the Scriptures that talks about faith. Jesus grants the request of the Canaanite woman whose daughter is possessed with a demon in Matthew 15:25. He says, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." The source of our hope is God. But where is our hope realized? It's realized in faith, placed in the proper source. And if we put our faith in God, God has the power to bring the answer, to do the miracle that we're looking for. The woman whose daughter was sick was granted her wish because of her faith. In Mark 2, there were these men who had a friend who was paralyzed. They knew that Jesus was teaching down the street in this house, and it was packed out. They couldn't get in. So what did they do? They put their friend on a litter and carried him to the top of the house, and they cut a hole in the top of the house and dropped him down through the top of the house, believing that God would heal him, that Jesus would heal him. So it's very interesting, and this is where I think it becomes really important for us as we think about prayer and fasting. Does fasting and prayer make a difference? It does. You're like those friends who had this paralyzed friend that they took to Jesus. When you fast and when you pray, that's what you're doing. You're picking up the needs of those whom you love and those others around the world, and you're bringing them into the presence of Jesus because you know that that's where hope is. That's where there's power. And on the faith of those friends, Jesus healed that paralyzed man. Jesus teaches about faith in Matthew 17, 20. If you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. And then in 21, 21, if you have faith and do not doubt. Fasting is first of all examining ourselves and getting ourselves right with God. But then it's this. It's placing our faith and hope in God and not doubting. You know, in our church here, we've seen God work. We've seen miracles. We've seen God answer prayer. We're encouraged by that. We see it as we read other people's stories and hear their stories. That yes, God is alive, God is well, God is active and working. And so that helps our doubt to be minimized and our faith to grow. In 1 Peter, and I want to read verses 3 through 9 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what God has to say here through Peter. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." Living hope. That's something that's active. That's something that's going on. It's not something that's just sitting there, but it's alive. It's growing. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come," and okay, here it is again, so that the genuineness of your faith. Okay, where did we begin in Isaiah? All right? We began with God speaking through Isaiah to those Jews, saying, "You looked and act like you really want my help. But what are you doing? You know, you make a scene, you put on nice clothes, you make it look good by your fasting, but your heart isn't where it should be." And here Peter says, so that the genuineness of your faith, okay, is what I'm looking at today really what I'm seeing? Only you can answer that, can't you? But there's a genuineness that comes as we live out our lives for God, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, that it may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What is it that you want in this new year? What is it that is motivating the choices of your life? What is it that is motivating you to get up on a 3-degree morning, the end of 2017? Well, maybe it's a friend. You know, maybe it's somebody saying, you need to do this. Or hopefully, it's God's presence in your life saying, you know, this is important. And you saying, yes, God, you're the thing that's most important in my life. And I do this because I love you, because I want more of you. Well, some conclusions then. Fasting must be done out of right heart, number one. Number two, fasting must be done with faith. The faith of those friends who took their friend and dropped him down through the roof. The faith of that woman who had the demonized daughter that came to Jesus. And Jesus said, because of your great faith, you will realize my hand at work in you. The methodology of fasting is not nearly as important as a pure heart and God being the center of your faith and your hope. Methodology can include fasting from food for certain lengths of time to fasting from any other activity that you give time to and produces personal pleasure. It is giving up my time and desires for God. That's really essentially what fasting needs to be. When our hearts are right, we want to give something up so that, you know, our lives can be made pure and clean as we ask God's forgiveness. And then as we say, God, you know, this is what I'm praying for. And as you follow this little prayer guide, you're going to see it's not about your needs. It's about our world and the situations in our world that some face us. Some face our friends, some face our neighbors on the other side of the globe. Fasting is giving up something so that we can focus our time on prayer. Maybe it's the news, half an hour of news at night, where instead of turning the television on and watching that news broadcast, you say, for that half hour, I'm going to just focus on asking if I'm where God wants me to be, in seeking his forgiveness, and then in praying for, you know, whatever the special prayer concern is of the day and whatever else God may lay on your heart. Fasting is focusing on God and what God wants in me and the world in which I live. Are you satisfied to just live in the world that we find ourselves in today? Are you satisfied that being an American, living in America, living here in Abilene or wherever it is that you live, is good enough? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied that it's good enough? Or do you truly have a desire to see God do something more, not only in you as a person, but in our community here, in our world? As we come and as we fast and as we pray, we need to be praying with that kind of heart. You know, for further encouragement on all of this teaching, I would suggest that you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is the faith chapter of the Bible. It's the one that talks about by faith, by faith, by faith, so on and so forth. These individuals pleased God. When we come to our time of fasting and prayer, folks, I encourage you and tell you that I don't want you to come with a selfish heart that is prideful, saying, "Yo, look at me, God, I'm doing this. Now you'd better answer because I'm doing this for you." But rather that we come with a humble heart, with a heart of faith. I encourage you to go to Hebrews 11, read that, and then look at the individual lives of those persons who are listed there. What did they do? How did they live their lives? What difference did it make, the choices that they made in relationship to God? Fasting can't be about me. Fasting can't be about me. But yet fasting has to first be about me. Aha, yes. First it has to be about me and getting me straight before I can say, "God, go to work in our world. God, first go to work in me. And then, yes, Lord God, go to work in our world." Why fast? To put our whole heart and mind in humility before God, and then ask that God's will be done. Last day of 2017. Tomorrow is the first day of 2018. We don't know how many days we have left. We don't know what those days will look like. But as we place ourselves in the right position before God, we can be assured that we will walk through 2018, the days that God gives us, with the right heart and with the joy of knowing that I'm not just living my life for myself, but for God first. We're going to close today with a hymn number 507, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" Stand with me as we sing together.